This is Messenger Insight, a podcast program brought to you by Oklahoma Baptist and the Baptist Messenger.
This is Brian Hobbs, host of the Insight podcast. As the nation continues to follow the COVID-19 pandemic, we want to welcome a special guest in today's episode, one who has really been on the front lines of a lot of this conversation, someone who's familiar with Oklahoma Baptist, talking about United States Senator James Lankford. Senator, welcome to the podcast.
Brian, thank you very much. Glad to join you again.
Well, I know you've been very busy this week and weeks, and so we appreciate you taking time to update us. You know, we're recording this here on Wednesday, March 18th, and I thought we could pause and talk about some of the key things going on in your world and just hear an update as far as that goes.
You know what? I'd be glad to be able to visit. There is a lot going on right now. If you look back on just the last 3 months of all this situation by coronavirus or COVID-19, whatever you want to be able to call it, we didn't know that term existed 3 months ago. It didn't exist, and now everyone in the world seems to know coronavirus and COVID-19. It was just December of 2019 that the first rumors were out that there was this virus sweeping through Wuhan district in China. And within weeks, everyone said there was thousands, and the president shut down travel from China, trying to be able to isolate, which did buy us a couple of months of time. But then now we've got changes in our driving as far as for truck driving and getting more hours of service. We have all kinds of changes in unemployment insurance, changes in SNAP. We've got changes in the economy. We've got now saying we don't want groups more than 10 getting together. I mean, it's a rapid transition that's happened as people are trying to react to a swift-moving virus that we still know very little about. The most that we know about this virus is it really doesn't affect the young very much, but for older populations and for individuals with other conditions like heart conditions or lung conditions especially, or longtime smokers or diabetics, those folks, it has a pretty dramatic effect on their health. And some of those folks end up on a ventilator in the hospital because it hits them pretty hard. So for the young, they may get it and literally not even know they have it. But for the old, it's a real risk. And for those that are healthcare workers, there is no vaccine for this yet. We're in the process of developing a vaccine for it. But it's very difficult on healthcare workers when they're facing people every day, trying to be able to help folks and to be able to treat folks, but they can't risk them getting it because then they would pass it on to every patient that they face as well. So it's a really odd season to be able to manage and to be able to figure out how to be able to help on the economic side of things, but then also how to be able to help on the health issues as well.
That sums it up very nicely, and it is astounding how quickly this has emerged on the scene. You know, we live in divided times, and you serve the people of Oklahoma there in D.C. and, of course, in our state, but in a divided place. And, you know, we could talk a lot about this bill or that bill, but what would you most want people to know about what leaders and elected officials in Washington are trying to do to address all this?
Yeah, there is a movement to try to get everybody together and say, stop being partisan on this, and let's try to figure out how to be able to solve the problem. That doesn't always happen. The House bill, as it was originally written, that came out, that was just voted on in the Senate today, that bill originally had a family leave act and has paid leave for people at home and small businesses. But because of that, the House wrote into it this whole extensive redefinition of marriage, a redefinition of families, redefinition of domestic partners. It had abortion language in it. It had all kinds of stuff that we had to fight to get all that stripped out to say, stop. That's not what this bill is all about. To their credit, they did eventually drop all of that language before they sent it out of the House over to the Senate. But there's that kind of stuff that we still have to watch for and understand philosophically. We still don't agree on all of these issues, and there are folks that try to take advantage of these moments. But the key thing that we're trying to do right now is to say, everyone, put down your partisanship, put down some of your egos and attitudes on some of those things. This is a time where neighbors helping neighbors, churches helping individuals, and Congress actually engaging with what will help right now is one of the key things that we've got to put in place.
We've heard a lot about this term social distancing and getting used to having community in this kind of society. What would you want people to be thinking about in terms of their neighbors and these types of issues?
Yeah, there's a lot of conversation about not getting more than 10 in a room together. That's not a good way to be able to measure it. The real issue is distance and trying to be able to figure out if you've got 100 people in a room, but it's a big room and people are scattered out, you're fine as well. the key thing is just using your basic common sense. The COVID-19 moves like the flu moves. If someone sneezes or someone coughs, or you're around someone and it's in the air and you're breathing that in, you can take in the virus. So just getting close to someone, if they have the virus, and again, the very young, they don't show symptoms the way the very old do. And so there are some people that are young that they think they're healthy and they actually have the virus, just their body's more efficient at fighting it off. And so the challenge right now is keeping a good safe distance between folks, and especially cleaning. Cleaning your hands. Everybody talks about that all the time, just washing your hands and being effective at doing that. But cleaning surfaces that people touch. We now know the virus can live on some surfaces up to 3 days. 3 days is a long time for it to live on a doorknob, to live on a countertop, to live on a door itself. And so when you think about touching surfaces, and if you're in a church situation, cleaning surfaces and making sure everything stays as clean as you can, whatever anyone you think might touch, whether it be a handrail or a back of a seat or an armrest or whatever it may be, getting those surfaces clean, knowing if someone's going to touch it within 3 days, they literally could pick up the virus from there, that was someone there a couple of days before. So as we learn more about it, we're trying to get information out to people, but it's just folks taking care of each other and some basic common sense. But it is a remarkable moment for ministry, for the church, and for people in the community to say, what can I do to help folks that are shut in to their home right now? They weren't shut-ins last week, but now they're shut-ins this week, and they can't get out. They're not prepared. They can't go grocery shopping or want to be able to get out. What can we do as deacons and leaders and Sunday school teachers and other just neighbors and Christians to be able to engage and say, what can we do to help take care of those folks, get them supplies, to be able to call and check on them, because you're lonely when you're in the house by yourself, especially if they're not used to doing that. It's a sudden shift in life for them. Just finding ways to be able to take care of each other.
Good word. And I talked with someone who's in chaplaincy today, and they talked about just how much we can do with our phones with a text or a call or FaceTime or even, you know, leave supplies on a doorstep. In every challenge, there is opportunity for ministry. I think you're absolutely right. Well, as you've faced so many decisions and things related to this, as a person of faith, how are you staying grounded and calm of mind, because even the average observer is getting stressed just looking this on social media. I can only imagine there being in the nation's capital. What are some things that have helped you, Senator?
I have to tell you, what's interesting is to talk to folks in rural Oklahoma versus folks in Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C., it's quite a few cases of COVID-19 in D.C. It's an urban environment, so there's a lot of people that live close, walking next to each other, lots of strangers. And so it's just this very stressful environment with a crowded place. In a lot of areas in rural Oklahoma, maybe 100 miles to the closest case for them, and they're thinking, what in the world? Why is all this craziness happening right now? And so it is an odd mix. For me and my own personal faith, obviously to be able to pray this through, I go through the Psalms every morning through a different psalm. Those are very reassuring to me to be able to just hear the songs of David and of others to how God was providing for them, and remembering God's faithfulness in the past is a good way for me personally to be able to start the day, to not lose track of all the noise that we do serve a God who is faithful, who is not distant, but who remembers full well our needs and uses moments like this to be able to do things that are very, very unexpected. And so try to stay attentive to those things and to be able to continue to work. I kind of live by the Nehemiah principle that you both pray and work. And there are things that need to be done. You get to work on it, but you also don't forget that there is a God who has to give us favor to accomplish those things that we definitely seek his face and his mercy in this.
Amen. Well, how can we pray for you and stay connected to what all you're doing?
Well, you can do that. My website, langford.senate.gov, is the best way to be able to keep up with all the things that we're doing. The best thing that they can do as far as praying for us is pray wisdom for our team and favor to get things accomplished. Because as we ask God for wisdom, none of us know the right thing to do. We don't see the future at this point and what things mean. So we're praying God's wisdom for the future, to be able to know the right thing to do for our economy, for our kids, for our families, for health issues, for vaccinations, because we're having our best guess as we go through this process. The second thing is favor, that we think we know what the right thing to do is, to have favor with other people, because when you're in Congress, one person doesn't get all that done. You've got 535 people on this Hill that you've got to convince a majority of them in the Senate and a majority of them in the House. This is the right thing to do and the right way to do it. And that requires just the favor of God to be able to move those things.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for taking time on the podcast. I know we will be lifting you all up as you serve and praying for God's favor on all this. Senator James Lankford, thanks for all you do.
You bet. Thanks. Let's find good ways to be able to minister to each other right now.
Amen. God bless, brother.
This Messenger Insight has been brought to you by the Cooperative Program and Oklahoma Baptists. To subscribe, find us on Spotify, the iTunes Store, or your preferred podcast platform. Visit us at baptistmessenger.com today. Oklahoma Baptists, advancing the gospel together.